I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. It's Hall of Fame weekend for the NFL, and in the front row with Betsy Ross this morning is John Thorne, one of the editors of the new book, the Pro Football Hall of Fame 50th Anniversary Book, Where Greatness Lives.
This weekend is the kickoff to the NFL season already, with the traditional game at Canton for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It is really the beginning of a special season, but it's the beginning of a special year for the Hall of Fame itself. This is the 50th anniversary, and this is really the kickoff of its celebration throughout this next year, starting with the Pro Football Hall of Fame Enshrinement Festival this weekend. And to commemorate the 50th anniversary, there's a new book, the Pro Football Hall of Fame 50th Anniversary Book, Where Greatness Lives. It is edited by Joe Horrigan and John Thorne, and John Thorne is with us for a little look at the book and the history of the NFL. John, thanks so much for being with us in the front row.
My pleasure, Betsy.
It is a big weekend, as traditionally this is the kickoff of the NFL season, but also, as we mentioned, it's a special time for the Hall of Fame because it looks back at 50 years of the Hall of Fame. And what gave you the idea to put together this book of some of the artifacts, some of which that the public doesn't readily see?
Yes, there are things we had to dust off from the basement. They'd never been on exhibit at the Hall. So we have some real historical curios, from Jim Thorpe's sweater to Ernie Nevers' uniform to letters from Joe Carr, George Halas. We thought that the 50th anniversary of the institution was a great opportunity to celebrate the much longer history, not only of the NFL, but of professional football, which goes back to 1892.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because not only do you talk about the NFL, but you talk about some of the leagues that were in existence before the NFL started. Let's start, if you will, start at the beginning. I've got the book in front of me, and it is truly one of the classic coffee table books. And if you are a fan, there is so much here to see. I mean, you go back to some of the old photos of the teams, and one of the interesting things, I think, is you've got the rules of football. There is like squares and squares and type pages of the rules of football, like somebody kind of dictated it and somebody typed it up. And this is really what the modern game is built on. And it's fascinating to see some of the ideas and how really the game has evolved since then. Talk about kind of what you all learned just looking at the beginning of football and how really it got started.
Well, the great thing for Joe Horrigan, my co-editor and the curator at the Football Hall of Fame, the great thing for us was to walk away from the general idea that modern football is so different from old-time football that the two games have nothing to do with each other. In fact, there are paving stones built all the way from the beginning. So when we look at something like a surprise forward pass by Bronco Nagurski in the 1932 championship game, and we then see that the hash marks come in after that, and the regulations that you have to move 5 yards back in order to throw a forward pass. Accidents build rules. Rules are built from practice rather than the other way around. It's not a bunch of smart guys in a room. they look at things that work. They look at things that don't work. And modern fans may not even know that you used to have to play 60 minutes, that there was one platoon, not two platoon football, not specialists on third down, not pass rush specialists, not nickelbacks and dimebacks. You couldn't weigh 340 pounds and play professional football in the 1930s and 40s because you had to go both ways. So the game was different, but the instinct is the same. I'll tell you, I met for the first time one of the 2012 inductees, Jack Butler, just last night. Mm-hmm. And he looks like a football player. He played for the Pittsburgh Steelers as a defensive back, one of the great players who was kind of lost in the shuffle, and now he's been inducted. And I believe he's 85 years old. And this is a guy, you just look at him, even in advanced age, and you can see that he is of the same stock as Curtis Martin, who was a member of the same 2012 class at the mm-hmm. Hall of Fame.
One thing that you touch on, and for those of us who live in the Cincinnati area, we are kind of familiar with the history of football in the Akron, Canton, Maslin area. But those who may not know the history of football there, talk a little bit about why the Football Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame, is in Canton to begin with.
I think there's no more important figure in the history of pro football than Jim Thorpe. And it was Jim Thorpe coming to play for Canton in the 1910s that aroused a level of interest in the pro game that had been dormant in Ohio for the better part of a decade. And Jim Thorpe and George Halas are probably the two most important figures in creating the league that has endured. It was originally called the American Professional Football Association and changed its name to the NFL. But the Canton, Massillon area, Ohio, Pennsylvania, these are the two states that have the best claims to being the cradle of professional football.
Mm-hmm. And still to this day, a lot of pro football players come from this area. We are talking with John Thorne. He is one of the editors of a brand-new book celebrating football, the Pro Football Hall of Fame 50th Anniversary Book, Where Greatness Lives. And it's very appropriate on this Hall of Fame weekend. Some of the other artifacts that I think really resonated when I was going through this book, you talk about the reintegration of the league, and you have contracts from Bill Willis and Marion Motley, and besides the fact that they did help reintegrate the league, these guys played for $4,000 a year.
One of the recurring themes in the book is to let the Hall of Famers speak. So we have a first-person quote from every Hall of Famer sprinkled throughout the book as a design element, and this is Hall of Famers living and dead.
Mm-hmm.
And a recurring theme from the 1930s on up is, I would have played for nothing. They didn't know I would have played for nothing, and I'm glad I got paid. But boy, that was the best time of my life.
Well, I bet so. And those two contracts that I mentioned for the Cleveland Browns, signed by Paul Brown, who, of course, later came to start the Cincinnati Bengals later in his profession. And there are photos of the Bengals. There is a beautiful two-page photo of one of the Bengals' Super Bowl appearances. Unfortunately, it is a catch by the 49ers that unfortunately sank the Bengals in that time. But we always talk about the Cincinnati Bengals Hall of Famer, Anthony Munoz, who is gets so much credit for really changing that position in the NFL. Who do you see as perhaps some of the really game changers or position changers in the NFL? Somebody like an Anthony Munoz, who do you look at and really think that they stood above all other players and really changed that position and changed the game?
I think you look at Don Hutson as the first really touchdown threat as a wide receiver, as an end, as he was called then. And Hutson set passing records that endured for decades. And there's a precision to the route running. It wasn't just sketching out a diagram in the sand and say, go as far as you can, I'll throw as long as I can. The skill of the passing game started not with the rule changes of the 60s and 70s, but in the 1930s, when the ball was still somewhat round and difficult to throw,
mm-hmm.
and completion percentages were very low, with the exception of Sammy Baugh when he came in the late 30s. I'd say that Don Hutson and Sammy Baugh are two men who revolutionized the game, got it away from ground and pound, but football is cyclical. So
mm-hmm.
we are going to see a return to an emphasis on the ground game because NFL coaches lose their jobs with turnovers.
That they do. As you all were researching and going through some of the archives there at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, was there one thing or one person that surprised you? Was there a fact that kind of even surprised you that you found during your research?
I think I had, I wrote my first football book in 1981. So I've been at this a while. And I think I had forgotten how great George Halas was. It seems incredible because the Pro Football Hall of Fame sits on George Halas Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And George Halas is renowned in the texts as the man who made pro football. But in our modern emphasis on the game on the field, we may not reflect on how perilous the life of the NFL was in the 1920s, how it nearly collapsed at any of a number of points in the 20s and 30s. And the George Halas, Red Grange, Cash and Carry pile, barnstorming tour, the first great college star, the great national college hero to join the pro game, this is what saved the NFL.
It is the Pro Football Hall of Fame 50th anniversary book, Where Greatness Lives. And if you are a football fan and want to see some of the artifacts, read about the history, and really get an education on how the game has changed, evolved, and has grown to probably the most popular game, especially this time of year as we get ready to kick off another NFL season. John Thorne, one of the editors of this book. John, thank you so much for being with us on the Front Row.
Thanks, Betsy.